What's a Fantasy Without Dragons, and two epic breakups. It's Destiny, so take a drink and stay tuned as we discuss The Witcher Season 1, Episode 6.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
begin. Hey, everybody. I'm Rachel Goodman, and I hope you all took a drink at Destiny. Take another. We're here.
All right. I'm here for you guys.
Yeah. We're here to discuss Episode 6, Rare Species, and I'm here with Ben, the Witcher.
Oh, yeah. I'm back, baby.
Olivia, the sorceress.
Epic intro, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Best intro I've ever heard in my life.
All right. And Katie, the cleric.
Hi, everyone.
So, okay. Before we dive in and talk more about this episode, be sure to stay tuned until the end. We're going to get to our toss a coin to our special segment and our news segment as well. But before we get there, let's rewind a little bit and talk about our feelings about this episode. Before we give our feelings, though, Olivia, is anyone in the chat and do they want to give their feelings about what's been going on?
I mean, first of all, Ryan is in our chat. Ryan, producer Ryan, saying it's not the size, it's if it works. So if you guys watched our last episode, we have quotes over here from this guy.
For all of you men out there.
And then a follow-up, it's not the size of the dragon, it's if the dragon works.
Yes.
And, you know, appropriate for this episode.
That too.
But for real, guys, let me know your thoughts on this episode, if you liked it, what you thought of it, all the things. My thought on it was dragons. And gold dragons. What could go wrong with that? Literally the best.
Echoing off of that, I loved this episode. Thought it was awesome. And I literally, honestly, liked this dragon storyline better than Game of Thrones.
Wow.
I know. Shocker. But it was just so... I wouldn't have predicted that. And it was kind of... just refreshing to see a different take on a dragon.
Yeah.
And of course, who doesn't like this reveal of, oh, we all knew the gold dragon existed. Like, we all knew it was going to show up, obviously. But you're still, like, hyped the gold dragon shows up. Because you're like, oh, it is real.
Right.
But,
and that they're linked to humans. That, to me, is the most fascinating aspect. And I agree with you. I think this is way more interesting than what they ended up doing with Game of Thrones. Just because... okay, yeah, we don't want to just see dragons burning down King's Landing. So,
I have to say, I also liked the twist because I didn't see that coming. That Borch was actually trying to get all the enemies together with the Witcher because he knew, hey, the Witcher is going to be with me anyway, and he's defeating us as the dragon.
That was like such a smart move.
It's the smartest move ever.
Do you think, at what point do you think Geralt actually realized what was going on? Because I think he realized before we realized.
You think?
I think so.
Oh. I don't know.
I don't know either. In the chat, what do you guys think? Do you guys think he knew ahead of time or he knew, like, right when it was happening?
I'm not sure, actually, if he did.
I don't think it was right at the top, but I think that at a certain point, we're going to talk about it, but especially the point where we think that Borch is actually dying, dropping off the cliff. I kind of feel like at that point he may have been tipped off.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we'll get there in a second. Let's talk about the fact that we are going, at the top, Geralt believed he was going fighting for a dragon.
And
he runs into Borch, and then we also have Taya and Vea who are joining the team. But not just that, we've got Yennefer.
Yeah. Yes. In the chat, JJ, just said, I got a good laugh at how fast he took the job when he saw Yen was coming. Because whole time, it's true. Like, he was like, no. Not gonna do it, not gonna do it, not gonna do it. Yennefer walks in, I'll do it.
Right.
You know?
When are we going?
He's like, I'll follow her to the ends of the earth. He's like a little lovesick puppy. It's so crazy. And he's like this big burly dude who's just
surely in love.
And it's crazy because they you know, very quickly go on this journey. The saddest part of the episode by far was the Hirika, I believe they pronounced it. That poor, you know, dog-like creature. I was really pissed off at this eye guy who... I appreciate they were making fun of something that is very typical in the fantasy genre with the knight and, you know, the knight in shining armor who is fighting and is valiant. And this guy was just a joke. Don't eat the dog.
Right.
Yeah, it was so sad. That little guy was just hungry.
Yeah.
It broke my heart. Don't hurt animals.
Right. And but we don't really see who killed him at the end, right? Because he was just dead the next morning, this guy, Sir Ike.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
He was just dead. Did we ever... No, not really, right?
Based on what we know, I mean, I don't think Borscht would have done it.
No, I thought that in the first place, but I was like, no, he wouldn't do that, I think.
No, I don't think so either. We don't know.
We don't know, right?
Oh, yeah, I never thought about that, actually.
Yeah.
Who totally killed forgot him? About it. Yeah.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, I mean, basically, he, you know, they warn him, don't eat the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, or, but that was interesting.
Not a dog, but yeah, they warn him, and I guess...
karma.
Yeah. We just don't know. He was just dead.
Yeah. Oh, maybe he died from eating the dog?
They said that he had been split in a certain private area. I will not mention.
What do you mean?
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding, people.
You know, okay. Moving along.
Oh, Ivan says the Reavers killed the knight.
Oh, that's what they guessed. That's what Yennefer had said after the fact. But we didn't actually see the Reavers do it. But I guess we can just, you know, go off of what she said and just trust that she
and
was
JJ
right.
says the Reavers. Yeah, everyone, I guess, is saying
that. Okay. Say it.
Yeah.
All right. So I trust the chat. I got you guys.
Yeah. So the other thing that I found very fascinating is going back to this whole timeline ordeal, because we get another mention of Queen Calenthe and that she's alive at this point. So we know that Syntra has not yet fallen. Mm-hmm. At least they aren't aware of it. And I'm pretty sure they would know at this point if that, you know, I think that news would have traveled. So we know that at this point in the storyline, this is before the events of what we're seeing with Princess Cirilla. So I appreciated that. I love when they actually, like, clue us in to when we are. So we have that. Ike dies. And then we, in this moment I didn't expect, we get another love scene with Geralt and Yennefer.
I know. It's just another one, as a little treat for us.
Yeah. But this time it's like, you know, we find out that in Rhynd, Geralt had woken up and just, he was gone.
Yeah.
And that was it. And that he left her, yet he's the one saying, you know, I missed you, honey. And like, not honey, but you know, like, I just found it fascinating.
That was romantic. I mean, come on. Right? If a man says that to a woman, that's romantic.
Yeah, but he left her
I mean, yeah, but sometimes we just have to.
Sometimes y'all are just dumb.
But we're coming back, you see?
Well, I think it relates to the reveal in the end. And, you know, let's just skip ahead and talk about it.
Well, I was going to say, though, the one thing I did like about that this scene, opposed to the last one, though, is the vulnerability of it.
Yeah.
Afterwards, like, the conversation they had, like, they're having a very serious conversation that, for, like, only knowing each other for a little bit, like... And there was just something that they weren't afraid to show that vulnerability to each other.
Yeah.
And that was a really sweet moment to me.
And the fact that he stayed, like, she wakes up and looks over and he's there and he's like, good morning. And it's like, oh, you guys are like a real couple.
Yeah.
Romance.
And
you know?
I also got the feeling, and I could be wrong here, but in the writing, I got the feeling that this wasn't the first time they had seen each other again.
Right. Yeah.
Because she had said, you know, we keep running into each other. And then she said, you left me the first time.
Yeah.
So I feel like, there are things that they have not shown us of all the different meetings and the coincidences that we find out is actually not a coincidence. So before we get to the battle... Let's just, you know, drop the bomb right now that, you know, we find out what that wish was that Geralt, you know, wished upon with the djinn. So let me ask you guys this. Based on the fact that we know that he wished for them to be together in a way, however he worded it, do you think that their love is real?
Ooh. I don't know that's real, but it's destiny.
Take a drink.
But
you're welcome.
Ben is wasted, you guys. He can't handle any more.
Guys, I had 12 cups of coffee today. I was like, damn. All right.
He cannot do anymore. Really quickly, Ivan says it's been more years after episode 5, so they've been seeing each other over and over. So you're right about that. But I don't know. I feel like I understand why she was so upset when she found out, you know, because it's like, then is it real? Like, if I were in that situation, I'd be like, I don't know if that's real now, or is it just magic? And she probably wants an escape from magic because magic is all she does. And so finally she feels like she has something real with someone. And then it's like, oh, it's, that was actually magic too. Great. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm not just saying it because I'm a man, but I feel like he's serious about it. I feel like he really loves her.
Yeah.
But with her, because she had this kind of power thing going on before in the other episodes. So I'm not really sure if she's just playing a game right now, using him a little bit. You know, yeah. I'm not sure yeah. about that. But I really truly believe that he loves her.
I definitely believe he loves her. Yeah, I think that he, kind of like we were talking about last episode with Destiny.
Okay.
I think that he felt something. I think that he loves her more than she will, you know, maybe ever love him. You know, I know that's a very bold statement to make, so just throwing it out there, though. But I think with him, I think the first time that he saw her, he had deeper feelings for her. And then it was beyond just, oh, I want to hook up with her.
Yeah.
It was more than that, and I think that that scares him as much as, you know, he does want to be with her. Like, him admitting that he's on this quest only because of her, and that's something that we get, is that he opens up, he's vulnerable with her.
Yeah.
He talks about her scent. And then the other thing I loved is that we get this sense from him that everything he was struggling with in the last episode with not being able to sleep,
yeah.
he started to tell her that now it's, I feel like he was telling her it was the opposite. That when he's with her, he can sleep, but it's his waking moments that are driving him crazy because of how much he wants her.
Cute!
I keep that line.
Why won't someone say that to me?
I know, right?
You guys?
So, it's every morning when I wake up. It's hard.
Okay.
Because you're gone.
Okay. Thank you. I feel better now.
Was that emotional?
I mean, kind of.
Okay, thanks.
We'll work on it later.
All right. Next time. Sorry.
After show romance.
That was great acting from you.
After Buzz, After Dark.
So the other thing I want to mention is this conversation that Yen and Geralt had about Yen telling him that she dreamed of being somebody important.
Mm-hmm.
And that was her big thing, was that, and this goes back, we've seen her origin, which I feel, I love that we've seen it, and that we know where she came from and what it was like for her. So that this statement means even more when she says it to Geralt. And then Geralt literally says, "You're important to me." And I, in this moment, I felt like Yen did look like she cared for him deeply.
Yeah.
But again, it's like, is it real, or is it the curse? Or not a curse, but the wish.
Yeah.
I think that the wish has a huge play in what's going on in terms of how she's feeling.
Yeah.
But I don't think that... I think she does care for him, but the trigger, this wish and this force bringing them together was more of the trigger than anything else.
And I think she has, like, huge walls up, you know, because of everything that she's been through since being a kid. She's just been abused and abused and abused, and now she has all these walls up. So she's like, yeah, I like him, but she's probably never going to truly open up like she should, just because she doesn't want to get hurt like that again.
Absolutely. And kind of going along with this, we had the big theme of, you know, again in this episode, we had the big theme of motherhood and, you know, what it means for Yen to eventually, you know, have children. And that's why she's here, we find out, is so that she can create an oil that will allow her to, you know, be able to bear children.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I loved that they're still going with that theme, mm-hmm, and this theme of family as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So when we finally get to the scene with the dragons, again, like, kind of tying in with this, you know, being a parent, we learn that the green dragon has died protecting its egg.
Yes.
So what did you guys, like, by the time we got here and we got to this big twist, and we kind of already talked about it a little bit, but how did you guys feel about the twist and what it means, not only what it means for, I guess how would it mean, how it now is going to affect Geralt and Yen too?
I mean, I totally was kind of surprised. I didn't expect that Bors, the older guy, is the dragon, the gold dragon. Because when I saw the dragon, I heard him speak. And I was like, wait a minute. It took me a minute to realize that he is the dragon. I don't know how you felt about
that.
I was like, okay, interesting. But I loved it.
It took me a second. Yeah, I didn't realize that at first. And I heard the gold dragon speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't put two and two together.
Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah, it took me a minute too.
I mean, I thought it was beautiful because earlier in the episode, you hear Geralt saying, you know, the gold dragon, it doesn't exist. And then he's like, yes, it does. It's just very rare. But and it's also beautiful to see that there's an egg, you know, that means that these super rare dragons, they're going to continue in life, you know, and they're not going to go extinct. So, like, it's so important that they protect this egg. But, I mean, Yeah.
Also, just jumping in, Steph in the booth here. The two girls, women who traveled with him. Mm-hmm. Remember when they were like, "He's the most beautiful thing."
Yes.
That like all circled back.
Exactly. Yeah,
absolutely.
When they said that, I was like, "Oh, that's why they said that."
Yeah.
Because originally, I was like, he's not the most beautiful.
That's what I thought. I was like, what? Girls, you're gorgeous. Yeah. What you doing?
Yeah. Maybe he doesn't look like Henry, but he has a heart, okay?
That's no, right. Henry,
yeah.
That's right.
Henry, no, but they should have looked in the mirror like, and they were gorge. You know?
I think we even got a comedic moment from the bard too when he said that. Or when they said that about him, he was like, huh? Like, I remember him like kind of giving like a crooked look.
Yeah.
And speaking of the bard, can I just say that him waking up after the battle has been done and saying, "Hey guys, what did I miss?"
That was funny.
This dude. Oh my God.
He's the comic relief.
Yeah.
He is literally, I think, other than Henry, my favorite thing about the show, because you need, with all the intensity, you need that little bit of comic relief from him. And I was like, typical, like, this totally makes sense that he would fall asleep and they would all go on without him. And I feel like they kind of did it on purpose too, like, let's not tell Bard we're going up here now.
He just kind of forgot about him too.
They didn't say where have you been?
What is he gonna do though? Like, he wouldn't be of any use, honestly.
He's gonna talk to them or sing or you know, write a song. I don't know.
Write a song. Oh my God, I love that.
You know what? We all know he's going to write a song anyway.
Yeah.
Even though he wasn't there, and he's going to say what happened.
Yeah.
But it's going to be kind of wrong.
Yeah. Just a little bit wrong.
Yeah. I do also love, kind of talking a little bit more about this battle scene, I love that Yennefer and Geralt were so quick to side with Borscht and say, okay, well, you're right. And as much as Yennefer wanted that, and needed to kill the dragon, she was like, okay, well, I'm not, you know, I'm going to step back now and do the right thing.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I appreciate about their relationship.
Yeah.
Will was in their, you know, when they had a relationship.
Yeah. Well, and I liked also when they were in the battle scene when they were fighting together, they were fighting so in sync. Like they were like back to back almost. I was like, this is, you know, this is cool. But like, they were just like fighting, I don't know, really well together.
Yeah. It was like a dance, like the first choreographed scene that we talked about in the first episode where it was just choreographed so well that you're like, oh, they're just meshing.
So I don't want to bring Star Wars into this, but when they were fighting, it almost reminded me of a certain scene in Star Wars. I won't, in case people haven't seen the movie yet, I'm not going to say what, but if you have seen it, you know what I'm talking about, where there's a certain fluid fight scene where two people join forces and it just kind of, it's almost like they were sharing the same mind when they did it. I did appreciate that. I appreciated how they were fighting. And I also appreciated the ending where Borscht decided, like, diplomatically, I'm still going to give them, you know, I'm still going to give these people the teeth so that they have, or I think it was,
The dwarfs.
So that they have something to go back, and that he was like, let them know that the dragon will actually arrive at your wedding if you need more proof than that.
Right.
Which is sad because he's going to be like dropping the body off of his, like, probably his love, you know, and like, just like, instead of burying her like she deserves.
No, what I didn't catch is the egg is still safe, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That was what I was not so sure
about.
Yeah,
it was. Okay. Yeah. Because they basically killed everybody who wanted the egg for themselves.
Because they referenced a green dragon, a gold dragon, and a red dragon. So I'm assuming this will be the red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
And wasn't it glowing a little red?
Maybe, it did seem to be.
Like, the inside seemed like it was green and red. So maybe.
Hmm. Yeah.
So maybe if you combine gold and green, it becomes red.
In this world,
I guess.
If you wanted to, sure, Ben.
It's a fantastical world. I'm pretty whatever sure anything you goes.
Ben the Witcher has spoken.
I want it to be red.
Okay, then it is red.
Okay, thank you.
All right, well, let's, aside from our other breakup, which was our, you know, Yasuke and Geralt.
Yeah.
Oh, that made me sad,
that
too.
That was so sad.
Yeah. It already broke my heart to see Yennefer walk away, but then the second breakup, I was like, no, because I kind of shipped them too.
I mean everybody ships them, they're like the best bromance, and then you lose a romance and a bromance in one episode. It's like, what are you trying to do to me?
I know. Yeah, seriously. Well, all right, enough of the this is enough of the tears for one episode. Let's go and talk about Princess Cirilla. But before we do, we have an announcement for all you fans at home.
We want to thank everybody so much, and I know every single one of us feels this way, just for the fact that you guys, some of you are staying up so late or up really early to join us tonight and who are just supporting us, and we are so thankful for that. There's so many other shows here on AfterBuzz that bring you content, and we are all hosts on other shows, as you've heard, and so we really appreciate it. And if you guys like AfterBuzz and like these shows, please click the subscribe button on our YouTube and comment and like and give us ratings on Apple Podcasts, because all those things just help us to continue to be able to bring you all this content that you love, and we appreciate it so much. And I know we're both trying to comment on the YouTube when you guys are having comments, and just thank you so much for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you guys so much. So, moving on to Princess Cirilla. Let's talk about this, because we had a bunch of things happening with her in this episode.
Yes.
So, I guess let's just jump ahead and talk about the fact that we know that Dara and Ciri left with Malsac.
Yeah.
Finally, I should have put that in quotes. Yeah. So finally, like, at first Ciri clearly just wants to believe that this is who he says he is. There's no reason for her to doubt it. But then Dara starts to actually talk some sense into her. I was like, yes, please listen to him.
Yeah.
He's a very smart person. Listen. Yeah. And so I felt bad. I felt like it was going to tear their friendship apart over this. But then on top of that, she finally gets it when she's asking Malsac about, you know, his home and how much he loved it. Yeah. And I was like, yep, there we go.
Lies.
And she caught him. And that, So what did you guys make of all of this?
Well, it was really smart of her, because of Ciri, because in the forest, I forgot her name, but the main forest lady was like, make sure you ask the right questions. And so finally, you know, she looked at Malsac and was like, I have to ask these questions. And she started asking the right questions, and that's how she knew that she was screwed, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just proud of her in that moment. I was like, you're so smart. At 12 years old, I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And she was just like, killing it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, she kind of continues to prove why she's able to survive as long as she is, because she's learning as we continue to go through this series. I don't know how long has spanned in her storyline since we started. So if anybody in our chat knows, that would be awesome to help, because I don't know where we're at. Like, if she's been out here for 2 years, if it's been, you know, so we don't really know.
Yeah.
But she's a fighter. She's realizing that it's going to take wits, it's going to take fighting, it's going to take relearning the things that she's learned all her life, or not learned all her life. And it's kind of like that final girl mentality in a horror film, where she's like, I'm gonna get through this.
Yeah.
And I like that.
And talking about fighter girl, she really pulled her own in that fight against the Doppler.
Yeah.
And she knew what to do. It was very impressive. Somebody who has been sheltered her entire life would just know on instinct how to fight. But what kind of, like, resulted in this entire thing, though, is that we see Dara and Ciri actually break away from each other and really start to, you know, feel their differences. And I think that part of it is, too, that even without meaning to, Ciri, like, you know, she runs off saying, I'm special. Yeah. And I don't think she meant it the way that it came off. But I think part of it is Dara's like, okay, well, what makes you so special? Like, not that he doesn't think that she's special, because they're friends and he cares for her. But I feel like there's some resentment there from him, especially considering this is the girl who is from a family that really hurt his family.
Ivan says, for Ciri, it's been a few days, by the way.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So, few days versus years for the other timeline.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Decades. We're all over the place. Follow along.
Yeah.
By the way, Dara, correct me if I'm wrong, but he does know about her powers, right? He does not know about that.
He does not.
No. He knows she's the
princess.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but he has not seen her. I feel like he kind of sees her a little bit in action when they have this fight, but nowhere near what she can actually do.
So probably she was also talking about her powers, because I think she has a feeling already what she's capable of, or she gets to know it even more.
Yeah.
Maybe she was referring to that even more than being the princess.
And you know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm sure when she drank the water too, it opened up
for sure. JJ said, I'm happy he walked away from her, because he would have died if he kept following her.
Very true and that is something that Dara actually said.
Yeah,
that, and I felt this is such a hurtful comment, but he said, you know, you're just like Queen Calanthe. Everywhere you go, death and destruction follows. Yeah. I felt bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That one stung, dude.
Yeah.
Tough line.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are still young, too. So obviously he's going to lash out. Yeah. but it was just very heartbreaking. There was was a bit of a fake out too with Kahir. At first, they made it look like that Siri was actually captured, but it was a Doppler.
Yeah.
And we had this whole entire scene, which was kind of like, for a moment, it was hard for me to follow it because we were watching the same actor until one of them got slashed across the face.
Yes.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So you didn't know who was escaping at the end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't either. I get you. I don't know what's happening here.
A great fight scene, by the way.
Another one
person doing two characters in a way. That was awesome.
Can you imagine?
That's tough.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure it's hard enough when you have to play that, you know, obviously this is like, you know, you're playing against yourself.
Yeah.
But it's not only just having a scene with yourself, you are fighting yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that means you always have kind of a double if you shoot like from a middle shot. You always have a double person who looks almost like yourself, but it's not you.
Yeah.
And then the way how they kind of do the opposite side, it's just not easy to shoot.
The editing as well in that scene. Because, you know, obviously you do have the stunt person and then swapping it. And it's just, it was really well done.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah.
Totally. And even though they looked exactly the same, the personalities and the energy that each character brought to the scene was very unique. Very, very, you know, interesting scene. We ended with Kahir and Fajila speaking, and he literally, so what we're finding out from him is this whole idea of destiny. Destiny with, in terms of how he's connected to Princess Cirilla. And that's the thing, is that the Dopplers are beginning to think that Kahir is out of his mind and crazy, and that he, you know, shouldn't be, like, he shouldn't be speaking this way, and that he's just, you know, beyond reason. So now we're left with, okay, what's this guy going to do next? And that's, we know that he's about to make a move. I don't know what that move is.
I didn't. I actually don't have any idea.
I really
I haven't watched it.
I really don't. I just feel like everything's going to converge in the woods the way that they've been predicting, and that we're going to get Geralt in the woods at the same time as Kahir, and it's all going to come to a head. I almost was thinking when we got the reveal that it really wasn't Cirilla with Kahir, and then at the end we cut back to her with Dara, and that's where we see them have the falling out. But when we didn't know at first who was walking up to her, I almost thought, okay, this is, we're now at the end of six. We've got two more episodes in the season.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if this is going to be Geralt, and of course it wasn't, but I'm getting to a point where I'm starting to think, okay, this has to happen soon.
Things go down. A funny thing in the chat, people are saying Fringilla got her hand fixed, but I never noticed her hands. She's always wearing gloves, so I don't know if she, because remember in the beginning she like roasted her hand when she did that magic trick,
right?
And now she's like this big sorceress, but I don't know.
I never, wow.
You guys Y'all are good.
Yeah, really.
Didn't even notice that. So.
I did not either. So thank you in the chat.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get to our special segments then.
Awesome. So today we are tossing a coin to the costume designer. The costume designer's name is Tim Aslam. He also did costuming for A League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, A Knight's Tale, and Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, and Black Sails.
Ooh.
So I love the costuming in every single one of those movies. Just so you guys know, I love costumes. I am a costume designer, so I, of course, have been freaking out all season about these costumes. So there's going to be some pictures on the screen for those of you who are listening. The first one is of a young Yennefer when she still had the hunchback. And on that one, you know, it was supposed to look drab. It was supposed to look like she was part of a system and, like, all this stuff. So they did a very good job at making it look not very special, but still great costuming. And then if we go to the next one, of course, we can't talk about costuming without talking about Geralt. Amazing armor. I love armor so much. And there's a really funny meme about the smile on his sword. If you all haven't seen it,
yes,
it's great.
I saw it.
Just the detail that the armor can tell a story, which I love. All the costuming in this show tells a story. We go to the next one. We have Tisaya. Is that her name? It's a really dark picture, but it's the first one of the, what's right after she got the flower from Yen. And the back of it has like these crisscross details, and then she has the collar. Just absolutely
The collar,
everything. Everything she wears is amazingly, like, and it has that whole witch vibe, and I love it. Okay, next one. We have the first scene we see of Yen when she's out in the world with the other queen, and just the use of color and just the way it looks on screen, like the fur and everything. You know that they're from it. You know they're in the winter. You know it's cold. You know this. So I love it. And then you still kind of see it's kind of boring at that time. Her like, it's not boring, but her costuming doesn't evolve to what we have later on when she is mage and she's like, I'm doing my own thing, to the scene where she is dealing with the one couple.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this dress, I was gushing over it. Just the whole, it kind of gave me like period era dominatrix vibes. Yes. A little bit. And I loved it. It's kind of hard to see in this picture, but then in the next scene, we have, of course, the scene mask. From last episode, yeah. Where she had the mask and she has like this cage feeling. And
that was my favorite.
She's always getting this cage vibe with her costume. And I kind of feel like it's kind of a symbolic thing because, you know, she was in it. She was in a cage for so long. She was kind of, her talent was all there. And it's just, and now she's like, but I'm going to use it in a way that looks powerful and strong. Yeah. Love it. And then I don't know if there's one. Oh, and then of course, Calanthe, her armor is absolutely amazing. I don't know if you guys saw it on the show. This is not really a great picture, but there are like lion paw prints on her shoulder blades. And it's so awesome. It really reminded me of Game of Thrones in the sense that the armor is relevant to like their character as a person. Like, she's like a lioness. She like will literally cut people up when she's in battle. So I love that that kind of tells the story about who she is. Like, she's not to be messed with.
Yeah.
And just all the costuming adds to the story instead of taking away from it. But it works because, like, even though it's not strictly any specific period, they still give you the sense that it is a period. It's not modern, but maybe it is a little bit modern. So there's a good balance between period costuming and modern touches to it, which, if you think about it, was what happened with A Knight's Tale as well. So it makes sense. So awesome job by the costume designer. I literally every single episode I was like,
yeah.
Okay, I need to talk about this. So
she had a real goofy face on in that photo the whole time. She was like,
yeah. So, and that's just a few of them. Oh, and then the one other thing was the dragon. If you guys saw, once you find out he's the dragon, his armor is scales.
Oh. Hint, hint, hint.
Great job.
Yeah. So, yeah. Excellent. Nice. All right. And I believe we did have news.
Yes. Yes.
We just have some fun news and gossip.
Yeah. So news is next.
TV news. So I just, scoured the internet for fun things that I could find on social media. And so this first picture is on Henry Cavill's Instagram. And it's basically a photo that we haven't seen before of him as The Witcher. And it's just announcing that they got picked up for season 2. We already knew that, but it's not until 2021, I believe, which is like stupid far. But yeah, it was just a cool behind the scenes kind of photo that we hadn't seen of him before, and he posted on his Instagram, so that was pretty cool.
Awesome.
The next one is of the girl who plays Ciri. She's an 18-year-old actress, and this is her Instagram, and this was her at the premiere of The Witcher. So this is I have a couple red carpet pictures of her looking fly.
Nice.
It was really cool. And then this is all of them at the premiere of The Witcher. So that's Henry, and then Anya on the right, and then the Jaskier, and then the
Joey Beatty.
Yeah, there you go. Just everyone together. I thought that was cool to see them outside of their costumes, just looking like normal folk, even though they're like not normal. Okay, this is a really funny meme that I found, and I wanted to show you guys. You can read it. I can't read it, but
because there was a lot of questions about, you know, he didn't have this choice.
Yeah, and I saw it, and I got a real cute little chuckle out of it, so I figured you guys would like it.
It
too.
Says you're a Witcher, Harry, and then Geralt's response. That's not in case anyone's wondering. He was just listening.
His other characteristic response.
And he has little Harry Potter glasses on. If you zoom in,
oh my gosh, he does. Oh,
really? And he has a little scar on his face. I don't know if you can zoom in, but if you can, it's worth it.
That's funny.
Oh, my god.
Oh man,
I see the scar.
Oh my god. Yeah, so that meme, I had to share.
I love that.
That's amazing.
And then I think there is one more picture. You're a Witcher, Harry. And then that's one more behind the scenes photo that I saw from Instagram. It's nice. Just like a fun, you know, he's hanging out with some people after a fight scene. And look at his little goofy face. He's usually so serious.
So serious.
And then I saw his little goofy face. I was like, uh-huh, to be shared.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And well, that about wraps up our show for today. Katie, where can everybody find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at KT_Christine. I'm very active on both. Also on the Batwoman after show at 10:10 on Sunday nights, as well as the Con Guy show on Monday nights on Popcorn Talk. And also look up more memes of The Witcher because they're great. They're entertaining.
The memes are hilarious. I'm Olivia Di Bortoli. You can find me at Olivia Di Bortoli on Instagram, on Twitter. I'm also in the comments on social media. And so it was a fun time, you guys.
Awesome. Thank you so much, everybody. Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Benjamin Schnau, and I also do the show The World According to Jeff Goldblum on Tuesday, 6 p.m. and We Are the Wave in German and English for you guys.
Awesome. And I'm Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Twitter at Rach Goodman or on my author Instagram page at Rachel Radner Author. Sorry about that. You can also find me on Sundays on the Restless Rap AfterBuzz show, as well as the Ray Donovan Doctor Who after shows and the Stumptown after show on Wednesdays. So until then, we will see you guys later. We'll be back on Thursday to finish discussing the final two episodes.
Yep. Bye, you guys. Bye-bye. See you Thursday.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.